Welcome to season four of NHL Draft Classes. We start to build at a 2022 NHL Draft in Montreal on July 7th. We've got a whole new crop of prospects to talk about, but the same old host here, Adam Kimmelman, Mike Morial coming on. Mike, this is, we always like this part. It's the beginning of the journey.
Whoa. Same old hosts? What is that?
Yes.
You know what? I had two cups. I'm going to make it three after that comment. But yeah, Adam, I'm psyched. Fourth season. We're happy to be providing the fans out there with some content on these prospects for the upcoming draft. 22 is going to be good. You know, dare I say reminiscent to 2003? That was an embarrassment of riches. So I'm really looking forward to diving into the video, following these prospects, talking to the scouts all season, heading into the July draft. And we're excited, right, Adam? We got Dan Marr to kick it off, director of NHL Central Scouting, on the show today. He'll discuss the preliminary players to watch that was revealed on October 19th. So we're set to go, man. We're set.
I'm excited because we might actually be able to go see these guys in person, which we couldn't do last year, especially in the Ontario League. They're actually having a season. The Western League has already started, you know, versus last year when they started in February. The Quebec League's underway. Everybody's playing. Fans are in the buildings. Scouts are in the buildings. It's exciting. It feels more like 2019. Like we've turned the clock back to the before times, as I like to call them.
Absolutely. I mean, last year to have a complete wash in the OHL was very disappointing. A lot of the leagues had to cancel playoffs and you know, championship rounds. So this year we're going to have all that back. And as you said, just the fact that we can get to rinks, we can view these players, we can watch them. And of course, we'll use the video clips as well, but it'll be nice to get out and watch some of these players in addition to what we do with the league in general, to see the prospects and the rookies taking, you know, doing their thing in the NHL. But it's going to be nice to watch these prospects up and coming and see what the 2022 draft has to hold.
Well, let's get into it. We have Dan Marr, the director of NHL Central Scouting, joining us. He's going to talk about the player to watch list, which came out earlier in the week. Dan, thank you for coming on NHL Draft Class. How are things going?
We're going well, and everybody's in a good frame of mind and really happy to be back in the hockey rinks.
That's great to hear, Dan. So right off the top, Shane Wright is the player most considered to be the projected number one pick in the 22 draft. Through five games this season, 2 goals, 6 points. He's taken 16 shots. When we discussed Shane prior to the release of Central's preliminary players to watch, you made an interesting comparison for me, saying he reminded you a bit of Nico Hischier and Matthew Barzal. I'm hoping you can maybe, you know, tell us why you made that comparison there.
Well, and I think I phrased it in that the best parts of their game is what he brings. And, you know, this is where your experience comes in and the fact that you've been around for a while. I you know, distinctly recall going to games to watch Nico in Halifax and Matthew in Seattle, and the way they just come at you in a game, their determined approach, the desire to succeed is so evident in their style of play. And when you throw in the skills, the smarts, the speed, the ability to execute under pressure, to have the composure, to read the play and make the good plays, it all just comes together to where you have a top prospect.
And usually when we're talking about a guy like Shane Wright this early in the season as really the de facto number one guy, you're talking about a generational type of player, a Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews. Does he rank, or does he project to rank among that group of guys where he's going to come into the NHL at 18 and be, you know, an impact type player like those guys were?
I think you know me long enough that I'm not the biggest fan on comparables and the use of some of the labels that are out there, but I know where you're coming from here. And you know, from your own experiences, you all know that each year is a different draft class. And I wouldn't want to pin that generational type label on him, but he is an exceptional status player for a reason. And he did not get a full season in last year, which it impacts every player in Ontario that didn't get to play. But the way he performed at the U18, like, he was the leader. He was the go-to guy. And we're now into this year. Now he's, as you know, 17 going on 18, he's put in with the U20 World Junior class. So again, he's going to be the youngest guy in that environment there. It's still a difficult camp, difficult tournament for those players to participate in, yet you still see all the good parts of his game that are going to translate well to be a top prospect and be an NHL player. And like, so right now this is his third year in the OHL, even though he didn't get to play in the league last year, and everybody knows him. Everybody's got their guns out for him. He's the target. So, you know, it's going to be fun in a way to watch him and how he handles the checking pressure, how the attention and just how he continues to produce. So like, I've learned not to go in and expect an all-star performance every game from these top-ranked players. But as long as I see the same ingredients, the same style of play, and I'm pretty sure the team scouts feel the same way, then they know that there's a top prospect and it's someone they'd want to bring into their organization.
Dan, it looks like the NTDP is pretty loaded yet again with exceptional talent. I guess we might not see 8 program players chosen in the first round as we did in 2019 when Jack Hughes went number one, but there's a lot to unpack here with this club. Central identified 5 A-rated players from the program to begin the season: center Logan Cooley, left wing Isaac Howard, left wing Cutter Gauthier, center Frank Nazar, and right shot defenseman Ryan Chesley. Can you maybe give us a snapshot of each player and what they offer?
Well, I can tell you, as a group, this is an impressive team, and these players are the top prospects on the team, but they're in such a dynamic, proactive style that they play. Like, the coaches are getting the best out of these players. And the thing with all of them is that they can attack with speed. And once you get going with the speed, then it's a matter of being able to execute plays, show your composure. So like, Logan Cooley, he attacks with speed. He's the guy that can lead the rush, do those end-to-end highlight reel plays. But he's got some very good hockey sense. So all he does, he goes out there and he generates chances. You know, he competes hard. Cutter Gauthier, he's more of your power forward game. Very strong puck protection game, net front presence game. But he's good with and without the puck. And he, again, has good hockey sense on the offensive side, where he's composed to make plays on the fly, set up the plays, but he just does that really good job in front where he gets those scoring chances. And then Isaac Howard, arguably, he's maybe off to the best start of any of them. He's got that excellent quickness to pull away, separate himself from checks, get to the net. Really smart, skilled offensive threat every time he's on the ice. He's got the hands and moves where he can quickly take advantage of scoring chances, and he's a good shooter. He can bury those chances. Frankie Nazar, he's one of those kids that he just finds a way. He's not the biggest guy, but he's strong on his skates, so he can handle traffic. He can handle going into the dirty areas, but he just stands out with his compete because he can skate, he can lead a rush, he drives to the net. He's fearless in traffic and in scrums. He always comes at you in the game because he's always out there making something happen.
Yeah, Dan, and that one other player there, the right shot D, Ryan Chesley.
Yeah, Ryan Chesley is, again, a prototype defenseman for the National Hockey League. He can skate. He's very good game with the puck, makes a good first pass out of the zone. He's effective at the offensive blue line, keeping plays alive, getting pucks to the net. He's equally effective at the defensive blue line. He's got a good stick, good reach to break up plays and take the man out of the play. Anytime you get these dynamic skating, puck moving defensemen, they're an asset to any organization. And he really stands out on that U18 team.
You talked about Shane Wright as a guy that we've talked about and we've watched for so many years. I feel you could say the same thing about Brad Lambert with JYP in Finland, that we've kind of, feels like we've been talking about him for 3 or 4 years already, but you know, this is his third season playing in Liga. You know, I know he's off to a little bit of a bumpy start, but how do scouts view him you know, playing, you know, whatever the stats are, they are, but he's playing against far older, far more developed competition. He's played center and on the wing. Where, when you've seen him or when your guys have talked about him, where does he project at the next level?
Here's the thing with Brad Lambert, and I'll go back to a player like Jacob Chychrun, who there was some good history on, but there were situations with injuries and missed time and other things to where, you know, he didn't necessarily pop in his draft year, and but he still got a good talent. So with Brad Lambert, I think a lot view him as a centerman, and I know that he is what he is in the sense that when you go back and look, he plays a game that, you know, it just doesn't happen where he has a good game here or there. He's a very consistent performer. He's a very dedicated player. For my money, when he's healthy and on his game, you always get a strong performance from him, but it's not a highlight reel performance, but it's a strong performance because he's a smart player who's very good with the puck. He finds a way to produce and contribute. He's got such a quick read-react game to gain advantages on the plays, and he does know how to finish. So this is a player that, you know, he may move up and down on the rankings there, but he's a solid first-round pick. He'll land where he lands on everybody's list, and he'll be taken where he gets taken. But this here is a solid NHL prospect. He reminds me of Larkin a little bit from Detroit. He's just high character, high skill, high hockey sense type of game.
So right wing Joachim Kamel, he leads all league of players with 10 goals and 15 points as a 17-year-old. He's actually the teammate of Lambert at JYP, averaging 17 and a half minutes of ice time, Dan, in 14 games. How surprising is his start, and what do we need to know about this right shot forward?
It is surprising that you have a player at his age going in and impacting the way he is in a pro league. I don't know that anyone would have projected that, but he was a solid A top 10 consideration going into the draft class. Like Goran Stew from European Scouting Services says he's just an old fashioned style player. So he plays the game the right way. He plays a high character team game, and he is a strong skater. He's got the deceptive speed to gain advantages on the play. Very smart, responsible, and two-way game because he has such a strong understanding of the game, which is, I think, why at the pro level, he doesn't make any mistakes, which keeps him out there on the ice and keeps the coaches happy. Like at the U18s, like he was one of the best checking forwards, forcing turnovers and stealing pucks in the neutral zone. And then when he has the puck, he's just got such a composed heads-up game moving the puck around. And his passes, everything is with authority and with precision. So the way he's got the ability to finish his chances and produce it at that level is both impressive. And he's showing that he's capable to be a difference maker. And that's a great talent and an asset for any player. Hopefully he'll continue on a consistent approach all year long, but I think everyone's going to be looking forward to seeing him play at the World Juniors as well now.
And I want to ask you about Connor Geeky from Winnipeg in the Western League, 6'3", 193. He's gotten off to a really nice start with 8 points in 8 games, was really good as an underager last year, you know, when in the pandemic shorted Western Hockey League with, you know, 9 goals and 23 points in 24 games. Does he kind of have that? He's got certainly the build to be a top end power forward. You know, does he have top line center potential?
This is the year for him to have his breakout year to show if he does have that potential. And as you've alluded to, like he's on that path right now. I mentioned this earlier. When we go to these summer camps, the first thing we notice is that this draft class is a smaller size as far as height goes. And so he stands out as a big power center, which again, will be just when you look at the draft and what's available there, he's going to get really scrutinized, get evaluated well. But he's got that strong skating ability where he can just burst up the middle, get through checks. He's got the skills, the hands, and the moves to get the puck to the net and get the chances. With his size, he can protect the puck. He can make the plays while he's being checked. And so he's turning out to be a pretty fluid playmaking center right now. I think one thing, like he should shoot more. There's a lot of centermen that are guilty of that. They think pass first, and he does have that good playmaking game. But right now, I think anyone that's looking for a big center up the middle, definitely top two line. As long as he keeps the offensive production up there, then he could down the road here be viewed as being a number one center for an NHL club.
It's been a while, Dan, since we had a Slovakia-born player chosen in the first round of the draft, or even witnessed players the likes of, you know, Marian Gabrick, Peter Bondra, Miro Šatan. The last Slovak chosen in the first round was White Wing Mark Giordano in 2013 at number 27. But, you know, watching video of center Juraj Slafkovský, he was actually playing in Liga right now in Finland, and right-handed D Simon Nemec. You know, I'm kind of a believer here. I'm curious what you've liked about each of them at this point in the season.
Well, going just on the fact when you mentioned Slovakia, it's, and I'll include the Czech Republic in this. The last 3 years, it's been noticeable that the federations there have really taken their development programs up another notch, and we're seeing these type of quality prospects. You can recall from the combine, there always used to be 3, 4, 5, 6 Czech or Slovak players, and it kind of dwindled down to 1 or 2. I do believe that we are going to see these numbers come back up with these players getting combine invitations. Slafkovský he left to play in a higher league. And, you know, he's got the experience there now to where he's learned how to use his size and reach asset. You know, he's a purposeful, strong skater, like good speed on the play, good puck control game, heads up game, poised to make the plays. So he does play a pro style game already. I still think that he's still learning at that level, but because he's got the physical size and strength and experience, he's going to be able to learn at that level. I don't think he's going to have to be benched or whatever. He'll make a mistakes, and as long as he learns from those mistakes, but everything about him going forward is correctable with coaching and experience. And I think this is a player that a lot of teams are going to get excited about when they go and watch him play. I certainly know general managers will get excited when they watch a player like that.
So just sort of as a follow to that, Dan, we look at the five defensemen that received A ratings on the Central Scouting player to watch list. Just among the defensemen, would Nemec or David Jiříšek from Plzeň in Czech Republic, would they be sort of at the top of that group, or is there another defenseman that you've seen in the early going here that you really has intrigued you, caught your eye a little bit, you're kind of looking forward to keeping an extra eye on?
Are we talking on the international front or overall?
Well, overall, you know, okay. Those two guys popped out at me.
Yeah. And well, they should. You know, you're a Czech on the Czech side. He has that physical component, physical element to his game, but they're all strong skaters, good mobility, have a good game moving the puck around. And Nemec, same thing. He's the leader, but he's a little bit more of a playmaker. He's got a stronger game at the offensive blue line. But I will tell you, there's one player that's really popped at the start of the year here on Guelph, and his name is Buckringer. I'm going to go see them again. Michael Buckringer, he's just a little bit under 6 foot, but he's in the top pairing with a high-end underage Allen on Guelph. But this is a guy, I think he's even caught the attention of the Canada's World Junior coaching staff. He just controls the play out there. He's got such composure, but high speed, ultra quick agility and transition game with the puck. And he's showing the smarts there where he makes really good decisions on the play. And we're talking, this is the first year player who's controlling the play and making a difference out there. He's really popped at the start here. We've started him as a B. If he continues his play, I can see him rapidly moving up on the charts. He's not at that A stage yet. It's just because we haven't seen him for the same amount of time as we've seen the last two or three defensemen we've just talked about.
Yeah, I see here too, Danny. He goes about 6 foot, almost 180 pounds, a left shot. So yeah, that's something that we'll certainly keep our eye on. It's just nice to know too that the Ontario Hockey League is going to get back into full swing this year after the cancellation last year. So I'm sure you and your staff are probably elated and excited to get a full season of scouting in all the leagues in the CHL. So that's great. But before we let you go, Dan, I have one more for you. I have to ask about Ivan Merezhchenko of Omsk in Russia's second division. 6'1", 185 pounds, a right shot. He plays is off wing. What do you like about him?
He's not a big sized winger. And what stood out last year at the U18 is that he didn't start out at the beginning at the top end of the roster, and he made the coach play him more. And he made the coach put him out there on the power play. Like, he worked his way up. And anytime you see a player do that, and a number of the Canadian kids did that, and it helped move up their draft status. So, but this kid is a real treat to watch. This is someone where you're going to see a lot of highlight reel plays, a lot of highlight reel goals from him. He's just got those nifty moves and good puck control with his hands to skate through traffic, get past checking pressure, get to the net. He's a very deceptive shooter. And he's a scorer, so he looks to take the shot. He's shown that he's got the finishing touch, but just the way he's so composed and elusive at the same time, and they can't get the puck off of him. He competes and hustles hard on the play, and then he just finds a way to contribute. I think he's one of the best probably scoring threats that there is in this draft class, and he distinguished himself last year, and he's distinguishing himself this year while playing at the higher levels.
Well, that's great stuff, Dan. And we're going to look forward to following along with the list from Central Scouting and talking about all these guys as we move forward here with looking ahead to the 2022 draft.
I can't wait to see your guys' lists.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good day.
Mike, as always, great stuff from Dan Marr. There's a lot there to unpack. What stood out to you? What jumps out to you from some of the things that he said?
Yeah, I think the first thing, Adam, was, we can't overstate how talented this national team development program is this year. I mean, they are loaded, a lot of high end talent. In fact, there's a B-rated prospect that I've watched on video too, Seamus Casey. He goes about 5'2", 162. He's a right-handed D. He's a B-rated right now by Central. He's headed to Michigan in 22-23. Where else?
Yeah, because they need another top flight guy, right?
Of course. And from what I'm hearing, what a lot of scouts are seeing, and from a lot of the feedback I've been getting, he's very similar, or they're comparing him to a Quinn Hughes type of player, an exceptional right hander. Obviously, Quinn is the left hand side, but Seamus Casey is a player I think down the road is going to be something special as well this season. But the other thing that really intrigued me was his explanation with Joachim Kamel from JYP and Liga. I'm really intrigued by him, Adam. You know, coming into the season, Kamel was pretty unanimously, I think, second behind Brad Lambert heading into the season. But we know Lambert's had that slow start. He's been injured a little bit. But Kamel is leading Liga in goals and points. The current points per game among U18 skaters is better than Barkov, better than Patrick Laine through 14 games so far. I watched a video of him, very deceptive with the shot and his passing. He just needs to improve timing a bit in plays, particularly in the defensive zone. But he gets a ton of power play time. His job in the D zone is to keep an eye on those opposing defenders, and he's done that well, you know, in his own end. He seems to learn as the game progressed. When I was watching one particular game, head is always up. Sometimes he was puck watching, but that's something he'll learn as he progresses up the ladder. Skating is okay right now, but will improve, I guess, as the season moves along. Real smart, good IQ, is like a chess player out there. But I like what this player has to give. And it's no joke that he's leading the league in league. Sometimes you might say, well, he's with, you know, real, real good line mates and the team is loaded and they're able to do this and that. But when you're leading league as a 17-year-old, in your draft eligible season, it says a lot.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's a professional league. There's guys who have played in the NHL in that league. There's guys who were, you know, career professional hockey players, and this 17-year-old kid leads them in scoring. So yeah, it's going to be fun. And that just gives you, you know, a little glimpse of what Finland's World Junior team is going to look like with Lambert and Kamel there. It's going to make them pretty formidable. But I think what really interests me, and you know, I touched on a little bit with Dan, is Shane Wright, and is he that, quote, generational guy, right? Like, you could kind of track what Connor McDavid did, what Austin Matthews did. You know, McDavid got the exceptional player status just like Shane Wright did. You know, will he step into the NHL immediately at 18 and have that impact? I mean, we've heard from scouts who said that, you know, Craig Button, when we had him on the show at the end of last season, said Shane Wright could have been the number one pick in the 21 draft. That's how far his development, his maturity, his progression is. And that's even after not playing at all last season, except for the World Under 18s. So this is a guy that obviously we're going to be talking about a lot, but is he the guy that, you know, you really want to hope the lottery balls bounce in your favor, because he could be a franchise altering talent? Dan wasn't really ready to put him on that pedestal yet, but man, it's going to be, I'm sure there are some scouts out there that are kind of wondering that same question, and kind of maybe they've already answered it. Maybe they already think Shane Wright is the guy who can turn around my franchise.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of watching Shane this year, right, Adam? Seeing again if he could duplicate, obviously the OHL season was canceled last year, but duplicate maybe what he did at World Juniors and see if he can lead that team, you know, to a first place finish. Let's see what he can do as a captain. You know, he was an assistant captain as a 15-year-old in Kingston, but you know, now as a 17-year-old captain for the Frontenacs, and obviously they're going to be looking to him to provide a lot of the offense, of a lot of goals for them this year. And I think you look at the tag generational, and then you look at past players who have been, you know, given that tag. And most recently, obviously the name comes to mind is Connor McDavid, and he certainly deserved that tag. But I think right now, that's why maybe some scouts are just want to see what Shane Wright can bring to the table in this, a pressure packed season for him, right? His draft eligible year, I'm sure he's going to produce, but let's see it happen. Let's see it materialize and come to fruition here, you know, in the Ontario Hockey League. And I'm sure we're going to see that. But right now, maybe that's why a lot of scouts just want to define him as a franchise type player at this point. And, indications, he's going to be a franchise player, and one that's going to really impact any club that does take him in the draft for sure.
Well, sure. We watched it, the under 18s last year. He comes out of, you know, just training and working out for months and months at a time to dominate that tournament as a, you know, an underage player. Can he do it the same thing with Kingston? He's going to have a huge role at the World Juniors, you have to assume. So, you know, I think it's going to be a huge season for him. And I think a lot of teams are going to be watching him very closely and hoping, you know, like I said, hoping those lottery balls bounce their way. Because if you can get a Shane Wright, he's the kind of guy who I think he certainly projects to be a guy who can turn around your fortunes in a big, fast hurry.
Absolutely, Adam. And, you know, going back to Craig Button, you mentioned him, you know, when he was on with us and discussing Shane Wright, I remember, you know, him saying that, you know, Wright reminded him he had some of those traits of a Patrice Bergeron of the Boston Bruins. So that's high praise for a player that's, you know, not even in the league yet, as a 17-year-old and working his way up the ladder. But I see a lot of promise for Shane Wright, no doubt.
And we're going to keep an eye on Shane Wright and all the top prospects as we go throughout the season. Now, we're not going to pop in with NHL draft class every week. We're not going to inundate you with prospect coverage. But Mike and I will be keeping an eye on these guys. We'll be watching them on video. We will be writing about them on NHL.com. And as Mike mentioned earlier, Brad Lambert from JYP in Liiga in Finland will have a monthly draft diary, so you'll be able to hear from him on how his season's going. Nice little inside the locker room moments from him where he'll be talking about kind of the pressures and the things he's going through this season.
Yeah, it'll be Brad Lambert, and we'll also get Logan Cooley as well from the NTTP this year, Adam. So two great prospects who will keep a draft diary for us on NHL.com. We're looking forward to that.
So that'll be great. So you can follow all of our stuff at NHL.com. You can rate and review, listen to us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, any place you get your podcast. Leave us a review. Tell us how much you love us or love me and Mike too. But until next time, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.